Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. Sweet decided that I would help her throw a curveball tonight. This is Deborah Lee, and here comes my poem. It's called The View of the Water from the Swing on the Pier. And here we go. Breathe in the brine on the breezes, then sigh at the Jersey shore as the salt water stirring. Legs dangle over the edge of the slatted seat as toes splash water on the pier's rope swing. And clouds roll by the platoon on the horizon, barreling down the bay as the mass bells ring. Humpback whale parents pass by me and dive. Buoys bob as babies in the pods are swimming, scanning the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet and eating zooplankton and krill captured skimming. Dusk is chasing the sun down the landscape, so the neon from the golden rays are dimming. Now the rope swing by the piling just sits empty. Then the moon climbs up to toss down opal light that glitters on the wall like the stars on the sky, freckling ebony hues that cling through the night. End of poem.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and sweet discussions here on All Poetry. And the site of All Poetry is Tina Voices, sponsored by the AP Poetry Foundation. I want to welcome you to tonight's topic, the ocean, the five senses of water. And I hope with Deborah Lee's poem, you got a sense of the ocean, the Jersey Shore, the sights and sounds of what we're going to talk about tonight. All the things that water brings us, life, food, memories, all the things that we do with water. I'm very excited about tonight's show. We have a lot of great poems to get through. So, now that Deb has introduced us to water, I wanted her to read the poem just because of all the great things she put in there. Humpback whales, assing, bayous bob, babies in pods are swimming, plankton, golden rays of the sun, and that swing. Just that swing sitting by, not just outside the ocean, on a pier. It's just swing right up and over the ocean. I used to have one of those swings. I love the idea of the stars that glitter off the water. I used to be able to go out on the boats or lived off Hawaii, off the North Shore for a while. And the way stars glitter off the North Shore, or the waves that would come off the North Shore, water and I have a great relationship. They almost tried to kill me once. But this poem just brought a lot to it. Clouds and all of that. It was great. I wanted to thank her for introducing our show tonight. And I'm going to introduce everybody else in the studio. To start with, my great co-host, Ramona, keeps me sane and it organized as much as she possibly can. As my head is always underwater, my beautiful, lovely tree bird. How are you tonight, pretty bird?
I think that it's funny that my insanity keeps you sane, but, you know, if it works, hey.
Hey, always does. What did you think of our opening poem tonight?
Oh, I loved it. You know, I'm a water baby. And, you know, growing up, you know, island life and Fort Lauderdale life and whatnot. It's a little different. There are no humpback whales down, you know, in the warm waters of Florida. But it is, it's got that peaceful vibe going that just kind of brings you to that salt air and the sound of seagulls. And I love that place. I that is my peaceful place. And it doesn't matter what's going on the beach because me and people are not friends. So, you know, you got to fight the crowds. But once you're in the water or close enough to dip your toes in the wet sand, there, you know, everybody else goes away. And this kind of brings you to that place. It brings me to that place anyway because it's quiet and it is. You can almost hear the water lapping on the pylons. It's just, it's lovely. It's wonderfully descriptive.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And Raconteur, and I control your thoughts on me.
I mean, you could feel the salt air on your face and smell it, the sea. It's a combination of all the sights and colors and smells. It just carries you away. It's very, very descriptive.
Thank you, Rakitor.
If I, and you know, one thing I love to talk about when we talk about the ocean or water or any body of water is if you ask somebody, what color is the ocean?
Huh.
I wonder what answers you would get. I mean,
sea green.
Yes. The color of the ocean varies literally from 1 minute to the other. I've spent enough time, like I said, I spent 3 years on the islands in Hawaii, and my parents lived in Florida for a long time. And, I sailed parts of the ocean, cruising on, you know, those big cruise ships, those festival journeys that you love to go on. The water changes immediately. The Caribbean is so much different than Hawaii and Florida and California. And the Pacific is so different, so much bluer than the gray Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico. And I can't tell you how different. So, Prebert, I know you've done all of that too. So what color is your ocean?
Oh, my ocean is putrid. If I'm talking the islands in Puerto Rico, it is a light sea glass, and it is perfectly clear with sand-like powder. But I grew up in Florida between Pompano Beach and Fort Lauderdale Beach. And Pompano Beach is probably the ugliest of all water. It's kind of got like a brown tint to it. It's not brown, like poo brown. It's got like a green. But when you're looking over it, when you're up against the water and you're looking over it, there is a lot of like dusky brown before it gets to blue. And that's just the nature of how shallow it can be. And it's, there's so much traffic. There's just always things, you know, up in the water. It's not clear. But if you go up to Jupiter, it is as blue as I have ever seen. It's not like a navy blue. But it's darker than a topaz. So it's between topaz and sapphire, but it is blue as blue can be. From the moment you get into open water, like it's just blue. There's no other color.
And I know what brown you're talking about. It's almost got like sable, like a sable shade to it as it churns.
Yeah.
Or that.
It looks highly unappetizing.
right. It's got a sable shade. Like you can almost see the sand rush up into it, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Good evening, Sky. How are you today?
She's muted.
Hello, Sky.
I got kicked off, so you have to unmute me again. You did, but Blog Talk kicked me off.
Okay,
how are you?
Hi. I'm unmuting. I'm good.
Yes, you did.
I'm gonna ask Deb the question. Deb, what color is your ocean? And you're not allowed to say periwinkle.
No, I wish. No, most days it just has this gray tone. But, like, it depends. Some days it has a bit of a greenness to it. But those are high seaweed days. So, like, you know, you got to go to the Caribbean and stuff like that to see the blueberries and the turquoises at the Mediterranean and that kind of stuff. But mostly gray, with foam, you know, white foam and stuff. And if there's a whole lot of green, the beaches are closed. So, yeah, algae.
and Rack, you're up the New York side of the world.
Red tide.
A cool thing is that usually you can get the color by photograph more than when you're standing there, because the photos seem to pick up any of the colors and emphasize them. So, like, if you were standing at a spot where the water was blueberry, you might not realize just how much until you took a picture. Just saying.
And height makes a big difference. When you're on the sand, the water is, you know, whatever color your eye picks up at the time. But if you're in one of those, like, oceanfront hotels and you're, like, on, like, the seventh floor or higher, it's gorgeous. It doesn't matter what color it is when you're down there. It doesn't look like that when you're up that high.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and on a side note real quick, you mentioned Jupiter, Florida. The company that I used to work for moved to Jupiter, Florida, from New Jersey, and it sounded funny to hear you say that because not too many people know where Jupiter is. Jupiter's in Florida and Neptune's in Jersey. Go figure.
Yeah, it is. It is north of Palm Beach, but still South Florida, and it's gorgeous. There's orange groves there, and Burt Reynolds. Well, he's dead now, isn't he? I don't know.
And CJ Transportation.
Yeah, I think so, he is.
All right, beautiful people, I'm out of here. Sweet, thank you for letting me go. I appreciate you. Love and respect, everyone.
Not a problem, Deb. Thank you.
Respect.
Have a good night. Di, what's your color?
So I'm pretty lucky because where I live, I do live more west of the state, but it's not very far. I can actually enjoy beaches in New Hampshire that are like Hampton and Salisbury, and then not too far away, in Portsmouth Bay, and then not very far drive at all, like an hour and a half. I can also go up to Ogunquit, Maine, and enjoy all the Maine beaches and all the lighthouses. I'm trying to actually get you a picture right now. That's what I was trying to do. And then I also can go right into Massachusetts on the Boston Harbor. So, and all those locations are not far from me because I live in the western upper south of New Hampshire. So I'm pretty lucky to be right on the coast like that.
Does that
very
water ever get warm?
No. No, but you still go through it anyway. But I actually grew my mom used to, growing up, my godmother, she rented a cottage on the beach, right on the beach every summer when I was younger. Well, almost a lot of summers. And even when she didn't, we were like beach babies. Like, my mom used to take us to the beach all the time because we actually lived closer to, because I live where I moved more west and more north, but my mom still lives on the east part of the state. So they're like right, they've always been very close to the beach line. So that's like an easy drive to go down to the beach. And so I grew up going to the beach a lot, actually. So it is always cold, but you're just used to it. You know, it's good because there's no. When I went down to Florida, I went down, I think I was 16, I think. I took a trip down to Florida, and I went, I can't remember the name. I think it started with a T. I don't know. I think I was swimming near the Gulf, like a Gulf somewhere.
So the Tampa?
Tampa, maybe. I don't know, but I went. No, I don't think it was Tampa. It was something with a T. I'm not really sure, but I went swimming down there, and I remember being petrified because the water was so warm, and I was like, "Oh my God, found my jellyfish!" And I didn't even want to go in the water. Because it was so warm and I was so worried.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not refreshing at all.
Yeah, so up here is very different. It's cold, but it's nice. But, I mean, I guess it's nice because I'm used to it. Just like when I went down to Florida and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is like a jacuzzi. And I was afraid that I was going to get stung by things. But
here, it
is very cold. Yeah, yeah. It's very cold up here, but just like you're used to what you're used to, I'm used to what I'm used to. So I will say that the oceans up near Maine, like Ogunquit and up that line in Portsmouth, are better kept up than the ones that you're going farther south, I feel. So when you start getting into, like, Boston territory, they're not as, I don't think they're as well maintained as if you go north up to more near near Maine.
Florida doesn't have a choice or to fall in the ocean.
Huh?
Florida doesn't have a choice but to maintain their beaches or the state will fall in the ocean.
I like that. Anyway, who shall we play next? Guy, are you ready to read Ron's? You getting up very early?
No, because I didn't see your topic till I did not find. I'm finding something for you now, and I'm finding you a picture.
Okay.
So I'm like trying to multitask terribly. By the way.
That's
you
okay.
know, I had a metaphorical piece, but I think I'm going to give you a different one.
Okay.
So whatever you want that. You don't have to do that now. I'm just telling you I'm going to give you a different one.
That's okay. Why don't we go ahead and put Pee-wee's recording on?
Put who?
Pee-wee.
I think Pee-wee has a recording. Or Kay. Why don't we do Kay first? Let's put Kay up. Always so beautiful. We can't wait to hear her.
She's on the board.
And I will pass along.
So the topic is water. I seem to write about water a lot, but the funny thing is I have actually not swam since I was 16 years old, which is like 30 years ago. I like to watch the water. I like to go to the water. I like to go to the beach almost daily this time of year. I like to watch my husband go swimming. I just dip my toes in water. That's as good as I get. But the long and the short is I do find water fascinating, even if I don't really want to get in it to swim. So I felt this right fit, and I call this Authenticity of a Day Dances Through the Senses by Kay. Turquoise scales and golden starfish, tassels of seafoam blue, bracelets the water, smoky air, hints of auburn and silver beneath the feet, leaves crunch with each step and what glitters a beach from yesterday's Wilton, a shimmering pearl and quartz along the horizon, inviting to connection. End poem.
Oh, wow. Hey, I really like this. I love turquoise scales and golden starfish, vessels of seafoam blue, bracelets of water. I gotta actually love every line in this poem. I really do. And, you know, there's something about just being at the beach, even if you don't go in the water. And it's just, there's a comforting thing to it. I have a love-hate relationship with the beach. I love being in the water, but I hate being in the sand. I think there's, like, a cosmic joke for people and water. Because it's like, here I am, I'm smooth, I'm comfortable, I can mellow you out, I can do all that thing, but you are going to walk through the grips of hell to get to you. And you're going to have to walk back. And there's just something about it, but I have to go. I have to be in the water. I have always been in the water, even after the water almost took, you know, I did almost drown once in my life. And I love a shimmering pearl and quartz along the horizon, inviting a connection. Because I think we're all connected to water. We are 60% water. We are conceived. That's our first symbiotic relationship with water, is conception. I just, this just brings like such a feel to me. You know, you want to be a part of that. You want to be, you know, to that water. And there are a lot of people that are afraid to be around water. And you're not. You understand the peace. And you like being around it. You like the sights, the sounds of it. But you don't always have to go in it. You know? And I really love that part of it. It's so artistic. And it flows like the waves, like the ebb and flow of water itself. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, thank you. I'm pretty good at that.
Something to be said for getting so much across in so few words. So I do love a good brevity, and this one is jam-packed full. I love the wilting of the trees. There are not a whole lot of trees by the beach here in Florida. We have a lot of palm trees, a bunch of sea grapes, and they plant a bunch of grass for the sea turtles, but that's pretty much it. When it comes to the beaches, like in South Florida, I grew up, there's not a whole lot of shade, not a whole lot of foliage. But when the sea grapes do their thing, they have these big, round, waxy leaves. And when they fall, they're heavy, and so they want to sit. But then they travel because the sea breeze here will kick up on somebody's business. And it only happens, for a very short time a year. And took me right back to that spot. It also took me to the lakes that we used to go into. Those have trees everywhere, and they're kind of murky. And I don't do like cottonmouths and like alligators and stuff. So me and Mike are not friends. But I love that it took me there. I love that this peaceful wonderfulness just kind of took little snapshots out of experience, and it was beautifully depicted. Beautifully depicted.
And Rat, your thoughts?
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn, so listening to her describe the water, whether it's a lake or an ocean, it's the serenity of it that comes through in what she wrote. It's the colors, it's transporting, and it's everything that you kind of want it to be. It's very fairy tale like, and serene. It's just a beautiful depiction. Maybe she's a mermaid.
Maybe. That'd be cool. And Guy, your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I know that it was mentioned already, but the beautiful in its brevity. I loved how you can hear it with things like leaves crunching with each step in litters at the beach of yesterday's wilting, reflecting on times past. I remember reading this at some point, and I remember the first thing I thought about was how, and I think I mentioned it too when I was making my comment, but it makes me think of how the sunset often can be beholden of autumn colors. So I like how she brought this autumn sunset of the water. Not the autumn sunset, just the sunset of the water, and how she related that to autumn leaves and those same types of golds and reds and russet browns. And I really thought that was a beautiful image and connection that she made. And then a shimmering pearl of quartz along the horizon also, that brought to mind that beautiful light that kind of gets casted on the water that's silvery white almost. So I liked the idea of quartz, and I kind of got like that smoky quartz and a little bit of just regular quartz and all those colors that kind of are kind of wistful on the when the water starts lapping and starts going up. And yeah, it gave wonderful images within its works. Really well done.
Absolutely. So, are we going to feature the video? All right, PB's next.
And he is on the board.
All right. Let me Let's start. It is a shorty one, Mr. Peewee. 47 seconds.
Like water, its stagnation creep across the land. 17 swings of a rudder in hostile high tides. Port side, man overboard. Starboard, wheel in hand. Cannonball the ankle drags me below. Topside.
Oh wow. That's a wicked little poem. She is a wicked, can be a wicked mistress. And the sea is cruel and takes her hostages, that's for sure. And this is pretty, I couldn't speak the words of vivid. That's a great, I mean, it's just vivid. There you are, bam. Port side, man overboard, starboard, wheel in hand, cannonball to ankle, drags me below from top side. It's almost like a scene out of, Pearl Harbor or any battle across the seas or, any of the great pirate battles in the Caribbean. There's so much here in 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. Well done. If I say any more, nobody else on the board is going to be able to say anything. I really enjoyed it. Rudder and hostile. I really like that alliteration right in there. But I will go over and turn it to Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this beautiful little four line piece of genius?
Like I said, I do love a good brevity. This absolutely, you had mentioned pirates and, that era of things, maybe not necessarily pirates, but, when you've got, all those guys lined up and they're rowing, doing their time, all strapped to things, all buckled together, all strapped to that big old ball and chain. Kind of sucks to be you. But this is lovely. And I think that your choice of back music kind of twists it up because it's a lot more peaceful than this poem is. And so it kind of comes at you unexpectedly, which there's a touch of brilliance to that because you're like, okay, let's see what this is. And then it's all like death and drowning. And I'm just like, oh, well, okay, that happened. And so I kind of love that. I like things that kind of take me out of what's expected. And there's a subtlety to your verbiage, even though it's hostile and, sinking with the cannonball, it's not like eviscerating. So that, again, there's that nice rounder edge to it, which kind of lulls you into this sense of peace before it goes killing people. So, I kind of like when it comes at you sideways. So excellent job.
Right. And Guy, your thoughts?
I thought it was very fierce and intense for four lines, of course. This idea of the 17 swings of rudder and hostile high tides. I think the way that it's written, the reader can kind of take it and kind of implement their own emotions into it because there's though there's the idea of feeling and emotion and this kind of something, pulling it, drags me below from topside, this dragging and this drowning, but not really the foundation of what's happening before that. It just leaves this stark emotion. And I think that's pretty cool because the reader can kind of read into it how they want to and kind of think about what is dragging them under and use it almost as a metaphor and a connected emotion through the lines, which I thought were well done.
Absolutely. Rack your thoughts.
Yeah, I had a hard time understanding what he was saying. So, but I mean, that there was clearly a darkness in it for me, you know, and the mood that he set with the music. It felt a lot like he was doing the same thing that you do that I love, where he presents something in this beautiful fashion, but, you know, he's really talking about something very deep and disturbing. You know, you do that so well. It felt like that's the direction he was going with it. That's what I kind of got from it. But, you know, the voice effect he used, I found it hard to understand him.
Okay. It was brilliant. We'll talk about it later then. Who's next, Pretty Bird?
Your choice.
My choice. It's always dealer's choice. Are you ready?
That's fine. I'll put Sky the one
ready?
That Sky, are you ready?
No, I'm not ready. I'm sorry. I'm just looking through 32
well,
pages
have
of stuff. It's going to take a while. just enjoy yourself.
I'll put mine up.
All right.
We have a caller.
We have a caller. Hello, 662.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hello, how are you? Hello, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm good. I thought you were not going to make it tonight. I'm glad to
be here. I thought I wasn't here, but I was able to squeeze in just a little bit of time to try to hop on.
All right.
Do you want him to go before me?
So, that's up to you. Can you wait for Bird to read? Or you got to read and run?
Say what again?
Can you stick around for Pretty? Can you hear Pretty Bird read and then read?
Yes, we can do that.
All right.
Okay.
Pretty Bird, read away.
This is Carnivorous Fish and Ocean Air Memories. And it goes like this. Salty air lures childhood to the surface, floating with water wings, more afraid of sharks than drowning, never could say no to a day at the beach. Lived down the street from Ocean World in love with its shark tanks, turned swimming pools into nightmares. Perhaps Jaws at 6 was a bad idea. Tears fade as you learn until a blimp ride over the shore shows circles of sharks feeding so close to swimmers that you cry in front of your friends at 13. The ocean feels safer each time you swim as long as you don't think about it. I mean, out of sight means you can pretend it was all in your head. And if Gidget can do it, then why not? But paddling out past all sound, the beach seems far enough that you must be in the feeding zone, and who needs to surf at 15 anyway? The sharks are easily seen from a wave runner, but they're not kicking around like bait fish and can't stay away from them in the relative safety, counting them OCD style, because they don't swim away from the sound of the motor. And salt air still lures. Out of sight is never out of mind. Part of me still wants to be Gidget. And I pet the sharks every time I visit the aquarium. And Paul.
Aww. I like this. First, I like some of the crazy whimsical things that you put in there. More afraid of sharks than drowning, never could say no to the day at the beach. I don't care that they're out there. I'm still going to go to the beach. Please don't bite me. From swimming pools into nightmare, perhaps Jaws at 6 is a bad idea. I've got to tell you a story about Jaws, but that's besides the point. Feeding so close to swimmers that you cry in front of your friends at 13. This is really good. If Kidget can do it, then why not? But paddling out past all sound, the beach seems far enough that you must be in the feeding zone. Who needs to surf at 15 anyway? Not me. I waited till I was 18. I love this whole thing about sharks. Because they don't swim away from the sound of a motor. Isn't that really weird? You think they would, but they don't.
They don't.
Air still lures.
That's the dinner bell.
Yeah.
And I hear people.
There were a bunch of sharks. There had to be like 30 of them in pods, swimming in circles, like gathering all the little bait fish or whatever. And just like 5 or 6 pods of a bunch of sharks just right there. Like they looked like they were like that far away from people. Freaking out. Well, they weren't really. They were more doing like, you know, whales and just keeping all the fish there so everybody had a chance to eat. It was a little scary.
I pet the sharks every time I'm at the aquarium, so I'm not as a pretty cat as you think I am. So there, love the empty, love all of this. It's just you crap me up every time. So I stopped going too far out into the water when I lived in Honolulu, and I lived in this high rise that oversaw the beach. And they have these things called feeding time or feeding frenzies. And I never knew what happened in my life, but from the apartment, you could see hundreds, if not thousands of sharks mass feeding, just fins on fins. And like you were talking about, circles of sharks feeding. And I only saw it twice while I was there. But it was enough for me to go, I'll never go that far out in the water ever in my life again. And the whole Jaws thing, I think I was probably a little older than you because I am older than you, but my brother and his friend took us, and they had us sit in the front row because they weren't going to be seen with his little sister. But those jerks crawled under these theater seats during time. And grabbed me and my friend's ankles because they're buttheads. So to this day, the Jaws music still gives me the chills. Because comes the first bite of that chick, and my ankles were grabbed from the bottom because I have a lovely little brother. So. Hey, what do you think of this lovely poem?
I loved this. I absolutely loved it. I had to look up who Gidget was. I'm not going to lie. But,
oh, make me feel old, why don't you?
No, don't even say that because I'm a fan of older films and movies and stuff like that. And New Age, like, I think I'm pretty eclectic in my taste, so I don't think it has anything to do with age. Because I think I've got all genre or all decades pretty much covered. But I never heard of that. But I loved it. I loved how you speak of going through, first of all, carnivorous. I love that word. So carnivorous fish. I like how you go through the childhood and then throughout. Of course, the sharks and the details in kind of going through only living down the street from SeaWorld and the tanks and the swimming pools and the nightmares. And then you just give these throw out lines after you kind of embed your reader with these memories and these images. And then they kind of get settled in that. And then all of a sudden you throw out this line, perhaps chocolate sticks is a bad idea. And, it's such a wonderful nuance to be able to flex from between the nuance of those memories to a little bit of underlining sarcasm, but truth as well. And the way you ebb and flow between the two, I really enjoy. Again, like I said, that was a little bit of a humorous line, but I think we all can, we've all watched a movie that too young, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space, like that traumatized me. I don't know. So I think we all have that movie that we've watched way too young that really affected our lives. So even though it's humorous, it's very real. And then you even go even further from that little bit of humor down to the crying in front of your friends at 13, which transitions the poem into to a bit of sadness. So you're going through all these emotions, you're making your reader go through all these emotions as well. And Yeah, and then there was another part that I was down to, right here, counting them OCD style, because they don't swim away from the sound of a motor. And I think when people experience something like scary or traumatic or like that they remember, such as what you were talking about, the circling sharks, it's just very vivid no matter how young you are. And when you think of the idea of counting the OCD style as a mechanism to cope, a lot of people with that condition do that. So I can just see it in my head. And then, of course, the ending, it just makes you smile. You just go through this wave, different waves of emotion, really well done. And and the fact that sharks are more likely from like 5 feet, 5 to 10 feet, which is usually your swimming range, you're getting more sand sharks, is crazy. I honestly don't know how I'm alive, especially because my mom even let us swim when we had a hurricane. I remember we had a hurricane, Danielle and Bonnie, my sisters and I, name, and they were back-to-back, and we were at our week vacation, and the waters were insane. They went from, like, the shoreline to, like, drop, like, insane drop because of whatever. And the waves were ridiculously high. It's just to let us go in the water. I don't know how we're alive. But it's fine. But I would, waves can be just as dangerous as the sharks. So, great piece.
And back into our.
Yeah, we're going to need a bigger poem. I like this. I like this a lot. I mean, from the water waves to even Gidget. My mind went to it's probably an older movie, but it was a Disney movie also. You remember The Parent Trap? For whatever reason you mentioned Gidget, I don't know if it was an outtake or whatever. When that was on TV, the scene with the one girl standing on the other girl's shoulders, that's what that made me think of when you mentioned Gidget, and I don't know why. I think they were in a pool, not even in the ocean when they did that. But you know, they were supposed to be twins, whatever. But the scene that you paint with the sharks and everything, the reality of it, you know, the interaction, even being able to go to the aquarium to pet them, you know, it's like that would almost be unheard of in a lot of instances. But you know, it's a thing, and you can go and do it if you're quote unquote brave enough. So you know, it was a beautiful thought, like the whole thing was. You know, and again, I don't know. It's the nostalgia of the water wings. From that moment on, I was kind of grinning. So, you know, you had me at the beginning.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You had me at water wings.
Oh, my goodness.
Gidget.
All right. Let me go back to where I'm at. Maybe.
Did you want me to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying your name.
Oh,
would
I'm
you
sorry.
Like to make a comment?
I didn't hear you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Smile, you son of a... Never mind. that's a line from the Jaws movie. Right before that thing dies. But anyway, the ocean feels safer each time you swim. As long as you don't think about it, out of sight means you can pretend it was all in your head. That right there is a nice little, like, just play with the psyche. Like, gonna swim, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. I'm perfectly fine. Meanwhile, great white shark is kind of deciding whether it wants to fully breach when it takes a bite out of you. Yeah, no, I really understand this and get this, like the fear of sharks in the water. I know a lot of people that won't swim in the ocean because they watched Jaws as a kid, just like I know a lot of people that won't go to the circus since and hang out with a clown because they watched It when they were little.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is actually a great ride. Thank you for, you know, taking us, you know, through this. I'm not sure who Gidget is, but if Gidget can do it, then so can you. but, yeah, I liked it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take a bite out of rhyme.
All right, Infinite, you are next on the board.
All right. Did you post it or do I need to?
I posted it.
Okay.
No, my sidekick, right, so my the woman that keeps me together, get it? Yep.
Okay. This one's called Aquaphobia. It's actually part of a trilogy I did of that has to do with phobias, but this is the last one that when I wrote for it. But here it goes. That sunless sea, 'tis fraught with salted breeze, and that breeze did set the sea unease. Lightning shatters the sky, the heavens cry, you clasp thy sails, pray this storm shall cease. Like battering rams, the waves barge port side, and ye its prey hath nowhere to hide. Rain doth pelt in terrifying torrents, floating cradle rocks from side to side. Beg and plead, ye scream for serenity, hope for an act of divinity. But as chaos it seems, is to no end, a thirsty, hungry malignity. No, ye doth exclaim, have falling starboard. But bubbles muffling from thy lips hath poured, salted, thine eyes are burned by the water, the algid sea pierces like a sword. No up, no down, know thy place nevermore, and tick by tock, thy air groweth poor. But breathe ye must, and ye shall seal thy fate, now with dead eyes watch for death's dark shore. And so she now cometh in clashing glory, for 'tis the end of thy haunt, of thy sorrow story. End poem.
Wow. Wow. The sunless sea is fraught with salted breeze, and that breeze did set the sea unease. Lightning shatters the sky and heavens cry. They clasp thy sails, pray the storm shall cease. This is a horrible story. Well, I mean, as far as it's a great story. It's well written, but it's scary and desperate and dark and, I mean, wow. Beg and plead for chaos. It seems no end. A thirsty, hungry. I mean, there's so many great bits of language, and it's exciting, and you bring it forth. And, I mean, you write with such great imagery, and you write powerful, and you write with excitement, and it always gets me, like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And it's almost like a movie screen, like, I'm glued to it, and I want to know what's going to happen next. And then at the end, you know, and so do now cometh in a clashing glory towards the end of thy sorrowed story, and it climaxes at the end. And I love how this goes. And like I said, it's like, you know, things like salted, mine eyes are burned by the water. You ever, like, burned by the water? Water, it's out of fire. It doesn't burn. So I love how you do that. You just have a really great skill with storytelling. And I think it's solid and sound, and you bring it all together. So it's brilliant, and I really did enjoy it. And you said this is a series you did about this Aquaphobia?
Aquaphobia was the ending piece of a trilogy I did. I've got Tapophobia, fear of being buried alive. I've got one that's called Pyrophobia, which is the fear of being burned or fire in general. And then, of course, finally, Aquaphobia, which I've, you know, read tonight, is the fear water, so to speak. But, you know, if you think this is a terrible story, you ought to read Myrophobia.
It's just, very well done. Pretty much.
Well, thank you so much.
Your thought. You're welcome.
There's, you know, it's either all peace or all drowning tonight. You know, it's like this goes hand in hand with Pee Wee's, where his is like the synopsis, and this goes into detail, and I kind of, you know, I'm all paths of destruction and darkness and pain. I'm weird. I don't know. I'm not all moonlight and roses when it comes to poetry. So I love that you can feel the storm and you can hear waves and the salt burns and you can't see where you're going and everything is darkness and then you're dead. And I kind of really love that because it's most people, when they write poetry, they tend to stop short of the actual finale. It's kind of like hanging or implied or full of beautiful metaphors, and we fill in all the blanks. So I kind of appreciate that, you know, no, dead is dead. And I'm like, well, all right then. And it's a full tip-to-tail story, not quite a bedtime story, but I love how it has that closing in there. So, and I love the word malignity, by the way. So fabulous, because I have a thing for words.
Well, thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Rackentor, your thoughts.
Yeah, the word that grabbed me was towards the end when he said portend. That doesn't get used very often. But, you know, to me, the thing that stands out in this is you captured the strength of the ocean, the power behind, you know, the destructiveness that it's capable of, the waves and the thrashing, and then you harnessed it into your story in a wonderful way. And like everyone said, you know, you had great use of the language and metaphors to get to that point. So it was easy to visualize and you know, it was very well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Guy, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought it was well done. And I have to say, for me, the energy and the excitement and the beg and plea, you scream for serenity. I'm not that boastful right now, but you can feel the strength in the way that you wrote it. Of course, for the chaos, it screams as no end, the thirsty, hungry. And I know that that section was a little bit already pointed out, but I think it was my favorite section. And then, of course, there was just it was just a torrent in here, and you brought in how harsh the sea could be, and a little bit of a story. And I have to say too, the couplet at the end, with it ending, you saying that here's the end of the sorrowed story, I thought was pretty clever too, and really well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Hello, AP.
Hello, sweet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm much better today than I was late yesterday. I had a 18-hour day yesterday, so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's fine.
Well, I am going to get ready to play Sky. We just got done with Infinite Destruction, and that was a hell of a poem. And now we're going to play Sky. Is that okay with you? Are you good with that?
You're in charge. Don't ask me. You're running
well,
the show.
You know, I always ask the man who runs the world. Always.
I don't know, it's like
2 o'clock in the afternoon, you may have a board meeting. We don't want to start a war across the world. I just have to ask. All right. So, Infinite, are you on your way out? You're going to stick around for one more poem, or you got to go? How is your life hanging?
Yes, he did.
All right. Well, nice having you, kid. I like it when you hang out with us. All right. We're gonna say, guys, got to go night-night, so we're going to have her reading. We're going to put her to bed.
Okay. I try to find a happy one. I just write all sad, miserable poems. I'm sorry. So I don't know what to tell you.
This is
catching. It seems happy through most of it to the end. So, I mean, there's something. Catching tower lanterns on Portsmouth Harbor's by Sky Darkholm. There is a bank made of strawberry sunsets, dapples of lavender linen and navy spruce, a faint orchid ash threading a terry of yellow and evening's glow. In this arc of cloud bends and star set are sips of New England harbor water, a gathering dance of color prisms over kite ship sails and colonial houses. It is here memories of French patisserie bistros, palate crepes and wine, that laughter lanterns like tower ghosts are still lit. I walk Prescott Gardens and summer circle steps, rows of tousled grass that fastens thoughts to June. And in that loop of warmth, when rain on cheek patters Portsmouth docks, I wonder if paths of trodden green will ever have chance to grow, or if they will forever linger, like the imprint of gold rings that have long since been put away. End quote.
Wow. Look at you go. You said that was going to take you forever, and it was this and this, and it was beautiful, and a very short amount of time to write that.
No, I didn't write. This is an old
one. I don't like you.
I had to find it.
Oh.
I didn't just write that.
I thought you were going to write it.
No, I can't write while I'm on the phone with you people. I have to be like, I have to read my.
Oh.
No.
I was going to give you kudos because you wrote that. I was like, wow, that's amazing that you wrote that. Oh, but then I see it's been in all these contests, so that would have been hard for you to do to put those all in contests and win that much. Okay. Yeah, I should pay more attention. But I really love Strawberry Sunset. So I'm kind of jealous of that. Over kite ship sails and colonial houses. God, I love that part of our country. I really do. This is beautiful.
Thank you. The strawberry. So we have the strawberry bank in Portsmouth, and that's kind of where it went. That's where I got that.
It's beautiful. Or if they will forever linger, like the imprint of gold rings that have long since been put away. This is really, really pretty. And I already saved your comment because I love the ebb and flow of your poem, like the sea into the harbor, the colors that are vibrant as the sunset and sunrises, a safe harbor or a lost forever at sea. I kind of feel the same way. It's just gorgeous. Pretty bird,
thank
your
you.
Thoughts.
I love this. It's got that delicate lilt with which you write, which of course I just find those super vibrant summer or sunsets down here in the warmer months. It when the sky never didn't start off, it's gray, you know. And you can see that you describe them perfectly. Those beautiful hues that, you know, you catch right over the water. But there is that wistfulness that is so lovely of a season gone by, of memories that you wish would linger, that, you know, keep you warm even though they're far away. And it's just really and truly moving and beautiful.
Thank you, pretty much.
You're welcome.
And Rag and Tor.
Yeah, this really slows my dinghy. I thought it was a great piece.
I want to hear about that.
What? So wait a minute. Yeah. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Now I'm all derailed on my commenting. You see. Things are going.
Sorry, Scott.
I like the piece, guys. It's serene. It's nostalgic. I don't know. It carried me away in places. It was just lovely.
Thank you.
And AP. Great stuff.
Yes, mate. Yes. Well, I there was a couple of things. I love the color. And I'm very... I think...
You're breaking up, guy.
Oh, AP.
It
sounds like a bad radio program
like
in 1925.
So I have taken you off speaker, but I love the threading of the yellow and the golds, and I love the colors, Scott.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you, Pretty Bird. I put up a picture of the Prescott Gardens as well. They're quite beautiful. And I will see you guys later. I'm going to bed.
Okay.
I'm going to bed. All right. Good night. Thank you. Great show, Pre-Bird.
Don't say good night. Just wave.
And I don't mean to be bossy. I'm Pretty Bird. Sweet. Oh, my God. I called you Pretty Bird. Sweet. You guys
it's
kill
okay.
me. Thank you, Sweet. And can I just tell you guys to come visit me on Tuesday on Down the Tube? There's three
okay.
giant things.
Yes, please.
You could, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're giant frogs. Yeah. It's bad. There's three giant things. Yeah. Okay, there's three giant things. There's giant sea scorpions that lived in the Devonian period. There's giant frogs. And there's that time that the Mediterranean disappeared because of giant salt deposits. So check it out and bring me a poem next Tuesday. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. That's
nice
our time.
I'm not going to say goodnight. I'm just going to wave.
Wow. Cool. That's awesome. All right. AP, I'm sure you have a poem for us.
And it's probably got current events.
I'm writing another one as we speak. So if you give me 10 minutes, yes. We'll be done.
Why is everybody writing another poem? They get on and they write their poems.
Because they don't want to give you
Give me 10 minutes, promise. Sorry, 10 minutes.
Not a problem. I'm good with it. I wrote a brevity. A brevity. It's just really weird. They don't write them. And I went, I like this, and this is what I'm going to write, and this is what it is. So if everybody's ready to hear a whole 37 words from me, that's insane. Did you hear what I just said? 37 words. Oh, my God. I think that's the shortest poem I might have written. Maybe not. All right, I'm trying to do this. It's sad, but true. How's the dog, Pretty Bird?
Eating garbage because she's a pain in my butt.
Oh, no. So this is what the ocean does for me. I always have. The transfusion. And I don't have my glasses on, so I hope I spelled that right. You know, too. You nonchalantly just the warmth of the sun from my body, easing my legs with a quick tickle and a game of watch me roll away, a transfusion of fresh fluid, flushing out the toxins of rage. Simple.
Well, I am right there with you, sweet. You know, water, big body of water, have this way of kind of cleansing the spirit. It is calming. It just kind of washes it away a little bit. You don't have to get in the water to feel it. You just have to be near it. It's like it's in the air. It's must be humidity. But it's true. There's just something about the sound of the water, something in the air. It just, you take a deep breath, and it's a lot easier to let the day go or whatever it is that's got you all riled up. And I grew up 20 minutes away from the beach. And so I'd all upset, 5 o'clock in the morning, teenage girl, whatever. And I would drive my butt just straight down Atlantic Boulevard, park right there in my favorite little parking spot under the light. And there was one bench on that whole beach, one bench. And it was, and nobody ever sat on it at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I did. I would ride under the light, listening to the water with my feet in the sand. And my father thought it was crazy. He thought I was going to get all, you know, murdered. And I'm just like, nobody, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning at the beach. Nobody's going to bother me. Fine. And nobody ever did. And on the good days, I would wait till the lifeguards were training at dawn because, you know, that's always fun. But, yeah, it's I have no doubt that the beach is my life many, many times. And it sounds like it might have done yours as well because there's just something that happens by the water that way, you know? So I absolutely feel you. So AP, what are your thoughts?
I'm taking myself off mute and off speaker. I really liked that sweet. I know brevity, you know, is something that is not something that you do regularly, but I actually really thought it had a lovely sense of a moment, which is what a brevity is meant to do. It's meant to talk about a moment, and I thought what this poem did was do exactly that.
Thank you.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
I you know, sweet in the water, and what more can you ask for? It was moving to be sure. I just, you know, I felt the extension of your calmness. It was lovely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are going to go into my list here. Got Kay, got Deb, got Peewee. We got Infinite, got Sky. So I need, either do you want to read for Jay?
I can do that.
All right.
He is on the board.
Okay.
And this is I, Genesis by JCA. And it goes like this. Felt as if your tendril fingers grasped the nape of my leather olive neck with the taste buds skirting the flavor of death. Shoved my head in the sewage swirl, backwater eddies spinning in the waters from your gaslit larynx. Toxin dripped from the lips with the vowels you spewed, serenading the cult of personality in the victim's tunic. Preying on a soldier's blind eye, thief of the satellite view, spinning the web of, look at me, smug, you delight in the victimization. Drowning, you snip me with the cream coral, giggling as the bonnet head sharks cyclone the lifeless ribcage. The ebb drug me to the silent island where the wellspring cord the emerald palms floating. I descended beneath the glass mirror, dying in the swords of blasphemy. While I traced the contour of my battlefield skin, peeling the burns from your pitchfork mouth, rebuilding the rubble of the lies you hurled. bathing, drinking, smelling, genesis of the sapphire aster raised from the Persian nightmares you triggered. You decreed I was to wither, stumble, lost, seeing beyond you, crawl to the cemetery plot solo. But drowning was not my brother, and I bloom in the waves of the citrine sun, and all the rivers in Asia fail to rise to the tsunami of death. I found gold in the tremors of trauma, breathing, living. I can see for miles. End poem.
Wow. There's a lot in this poem. There are definitely things you have to swim through when you swim through trauma. There are so many things that go back and forth as you're trying to either not drown in it, not die in it. I like spinning the web of look at me smug. You delight in the victimization. Drowning, you snip me in the clean coral, squiggling as the bonnet head shark cyclone in the lifeless rib cage. Those sharks do circle you. And you do feel like you're drowning. Just get your head right above that water. And I think your metaphors and are priceless in here. Because sometimes you're swimming along and you're just right in this wave that's just dragging you down, this toe and back, and you're fighting, and almost exhausted. And you just don't give up because you're not going to be pulled under. And you do have those sharks, and they just circle you. And they just want you to just start bleeding so they can cover it. Just, you know, that's just enough for them to go after you. And, yeah, you decreed I was to wither. And I didn't. But drowning was not my brother. I really like that. I found gold in the tremors of trauma, breathing, living, and I can see from all. This is a really powerful poem, KCA, and it does have all the senses of water, all the things it can do for you. It can kill you. It can refresh you. It can quench a thirst. It can bring you back to life when you're dry and almost dying. It's a very interesting way to look at this prompt, and I thought you did a really good job. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Well, it was an honor to read, Jay. And this is painful. And you know what? It really, really shows a lot of strength. But that opening puts you right up in it. And we were talking about this tonight. And, you know, sometimes people suck, you know. And, you know, you shoved my head in the sewage swirl, backwater eddy, spinning in the waters for gas. You know, people suck. That is horrible. Because the only ones that are ever close enough to us to know how to push those triggers, to know how to egg you on, to know how to light you up, are the ones that are supposed to love you. The ones that we can't talk about, that we're close enough to, that they know those secrets to be able to you know, do it on a dime. And that's just painful and vile. You know, the people that do that are just vile. Horrible. They break it down. And then as you're drowning, as she flings you to your death in that in the sewage of her ways, you are there, and the water heals the burns from her mouth. And starts healing you from her wounds and the lies and everything else that she tried to beat down with. Sometimes it you have to cut the head off the beast to be able to regrow who you were, and that is beautiful and strong. I feel bold in the terms of trauma, breathing, living. I can see for miles. That speaks a lot of character, and whether it is personal or just something you wrote, it is strength that most of us do not have, that we have to reach that bottom that people push us down into, and it finally triggers that whole, you know, survival instinct, because most of us will take a certain amount of, well, bullshit before we want to give in to the fact that you know, we care about somebody who can be that bad. And I find that this is all me. If this reads like a Phoenix Rising story, and, you know, it's my favorite of all the birdies. So I it really just moves me.
Yeah, I can tour your thoughts.
Wow. I just thought it was great. I was riding away on the waves. Yeah, it's got a little lost for a minute there. Sorry.
All right. Hey, Pete.
That's me. But drowning was not my brother, and I bloom in the waves of the citrine sun. There's a real sense of survival and of strength of the power of the waves just pushing the protagonist forward, and I actually really like the poem. I think it's a really, really well written poem.
Kind of drags you under.
Almost.
All right. Excellent piece, Jay.
I have a poem.
I was going to say, are you ready to AP?
I am. It's finished.
The floor is yours.
Mate. No, you don't. Let me put it up on the board then. This is one of those. It wasn't quite 10 minute. It's an 8 minute poem, sweet. This is Waters Distant, and it goes a little bit like this. Sunsets they gather over the seas that brew, with a needle of sharp gold that moments thread through. Where wings dance on a sheen as the gulls tarry on white, once frogs did sit on marches before the tarmac did bite. Replaced by arching metal, which gather ocean and blues, that shear in waves below as they dance to clouds above the ocean's distant call, the rain slapped by waves sieve, distantly sound crashing curls, and I'm far enough away to forgive. In poem.
I like the ending. It certainly sounds crushing curls, and I'm far enough to forgive. It's a very unique metaphor for me personally. Where wings dance on the sheen as the gulls tarry on white, once frogs did sit on the marshes before the tarmac did bite. What did they put where they shouldn't have put that bothers you? Yeah, you always kind of interview things. You are a person that I'm always, like, looking for something that may not be there, that maybe it is there. So I'm like, what did they put? Did they put something where they shouldn't? And the song, Parking Lot is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's probably not the name of it, but, you know, what did they do? Did they put up a parking lot? And maybe they shouldn't have, because there must have been something beautiful there. And yet, maybe you're far enough away from it that you're okay to forgive it. But something might have been beautiful there as they danced the clouds below. I mean, it's almost sad. Because once frogs get to them, or two, but it's not there. It's no longer there. And it's kind of sad. And did you draw that picture?
Yes, I did.
Is that a, I'm trying to figure out. Wow. Where wings dance on shoes, the gulls carry on white, once frogs sit on marches all the time. There is something about that stanza I keep going back to. Replaced by arching metal, which gathered oceans and blues that shear and wave below as they dance to clouds through. So obviously something very natural and beautiful, a beach or something, was torn apart so man could put a mall, a shopping mall, a touristy type thing, and replace whatever beach or something was there. And it's not making me very happy, and they should have just left the damn thing alone.
It's an airport suite.
So.
It's an airport.
It's an airport,
they put the airport. It put the airport where the marshes and the frogs were, and now it's just a bloody great big airport.
And you know what? I'm one of these people that believe nature will win. God help us if we don't have to keep that airport, because eventually the plane's just going to sink right back into that damn marsh. So let's hope that something doesn't shift or a storm doesn't come in or something
yep.
doesn't move that a man-made airport over the bloody marsh. So let's go there. Because there was an ache in this. There was like a sorrow to it. And there you go. All right, Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
You know, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, so everything is on the Everglades. You know, and yes, sometimes though the world swallows it whole. Not pretty. But, I felt that. I felt this. And I hate frogs. Like, with a passion, they are, like, a nightmare for me. But there's something really wistful about that particular stanza. At the end of this, when you're flying in that plane and you're looking over everything, you know, there's peace in that flying over the ocean. At least I gathered that there was peace. It felt like peace to me. You know, where everything is quiet and far away and the hustle and bustle doesn't exist. And, you know, it seems like a trade-off that is almost worth it, but not quite, you know?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this piece. And I love your big wave. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And I can tell your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful, too. You know, again, there's a serenity to it. I don't know. It carried me away. It's the water is a special place. I could almost see Pretty Bird cringing at the frogs on the asphalt because she's got a special story about that one.
Frogs are not my friends.
She literally couldn't walk down the sidewalk because the frog blocked her path.
Okay, there's a big giant toad. And I have a phobia.
Hatter. Let's say hi to Hatter. Hatter. Unmuted. Do you have a phobia of frogs or airports?
I have such a great story about this suite, but it's horrible. So that's Pretty Bird might have to close her ears.
Is it about
you're
a frog man?
Pretty Bird?
He's strong.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, righto. Can I do the story, sweet?
Of course you can.
Okay, righto. Well, once upon a time, I had to go up to far north Queensland to see this customer that we'd completely stuffed up. Right? So we'd made a huge mess. They needed somebody to yell at, and so I went up there. I was the person that they were going to yell at, and then they did. They yelled at me for about 2 or 3 hours. Anyway, there was this office that they were in. And it was this office that was sitting on very low land. And basically, there was a whole heap of reeds around it. And I sort of got there in the mid-afternoon. And by the time they'd finished yelling at me, it was dark. And so they very kindly turned the big light on outside this shed. because the car was about 50 meters away. And as they turned the light on, the whole ground started moving. And I thought to myself, that's unusual.
Frog.
What's that? And in front of me were literally thousands of cane toads. And they went and they parted with the light. And so I was able to sort of avoid them until I got into the car. And then as I drove off, basically to the sound of me crushing cane toad after cane toad in the park as I got back onto the road. And so I got rid of probably 40 or 50 cane toads, but there are not multiple thousands there. And I've never forgotten it. End story.
How can you? The sound of that. I just it must have been wonderful. It was like a horror story in itself.
A sesame. Well, I'm thinking, how do you, if they're poisonous, how do you clean that? It's like you got poison embedded in like your rims and stuff now.
Correct? That it was a horror car. It was a horror car. Old school.
Oh, my God. Blood and guts and toe eyes and toe toads and toe tails and, oh. Oh,
boy. Oh,
my God, that's
really bad. So this is the story of how AP had his car towed.
Yes, thank you. Well done. Boom, boom.
Yes. God, that's just disgusting.
Thanks very much, right? I thought you'd like it.
That is they're not little. Pretty bad. That's pretty disgusting. No, they're not.
Thank you.
How did you step over them to get to your car? That's what
they're
I remember.
They're part of the
process.
Well, I didn't like the big light. That's why they had this industrial light there, obviously, to clear the toads away. But I mean, cane toads are the world's most horrible creature. They are
that's
just
what we have here.
Awful. Awful. They're horrible things. Disgusting.
And they make this sound. They're not pretty.
They do.
Yes.
Oh, no. No, there's nothing.
Can you
there
imagine
is nothing
that,
pretty.
As they're dying,
yeah.
It just goes on.
The drawing. They sound like a didgeridoo.
They're awful.
Out.
And yeah. They get pretty hefty. And they don't start easily.
That is a nightmare poem waiting to be written. Why have you not written on the sounds of a cane toad dying in the billions?
When we first moved up here to the country, there was this, I don't know, it was raining frogs one summer. It was the worst flood since I've lived here 20 years now. The worst ever was that first summer we were here. And the wetter it is, the more frogs come out. And it was like it was raining frogs all up the, like, miles up the road. There were just, you know, tens of thousands of frogs everywhere. And my husband is driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning in a rainstorm. And when we went out to the, he goes, all I heard was, as he was driving.
Yep.
And when we went out in the morning, it was a layer of bits and pieces and meat all on all the tires. I was just like, no. No, it's okay. Enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you a grocer story, if you have a hot minute.
Oh,
I'll make it short. I was 12 years old, and my little brother's an ass. And I used to be the girl that grew tadpoles, you know? And I used to cut bait fish, and I used to, you know, I was not afraid of, I was not a prissy girl. I used to be all up in the muck. I have long, curly hair.
Oh,
so
no.
It was after a rain, and we lived by a canal, and him and the little neighbor kids put 5-gallon buckets of frogs, big frogs, little frogs, and by frogs, I mean big-ass toads. And they flung them at me like they were snowballs. So So when I'm freaking out, the frogs at me, I'm pulling them out of my hair. But, you know, frogs are kind of sticky. And Bits and Pieces got locked and pulled off in my curls. And I'm screaming and crying, and they're laughing, and I'm pulling these frogs, which, by the way, you know, are still alive and limbless, and I'm grabbing these things out of my hair, and I cannot, because you have no idea. I'm washing bits and pieces of blood and guts and frogs all over me. It's not so much blood. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I'm not okay. I have an issue with frogs.
No.
But, yeah. They ruined me.
Right.
They.
Did you say
yeah, that's
that
not
was
right.
Great?
It's a waste
that's
of a perfectly
right.
good frog.
So welcome to my trauma.
Thank
oh.
you.
Oh, that's
you did
wrong.
That really well.
I'm okay with a little Puerto Rican cookie.
You had
like
one more poem that you didn't read. You didn't
have another poem you didn't read.
And nothing to prove.
Oh, well, that's not really water to spell metaphor. I have another water one if you want.
I just was going through my final list. But Hatter, did you bring a poem tonight?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, would you like to throw it on the board between our frog horror stories?
Horror stories? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A horror story. Frog talk.
I didn't bring one of those.
No,
that's probably
a water story. Not a frog talk or a poem for my subject tonight, which is not frogs, by the way. It's about water. But frogs are in water in swamps, so it kind of naturally went that way.
Things tend to croak around you, sweetie.
I brought an evil poem.
Oh, goody. I've had some evil poems tonight.
You want me to read it?
Well, of course I do.
Okay. It's called Palindromes Are Free.
Ha ha!
It goes like this. I stole a name that was not mine to fool you all one at a time. Someone you think that you should know to call by phone on a poetry show. How to write and rhyme for free. Are you sure that it was really me? I paraded the words one at a time, digging through piles of throwaway rhymes. Dressed them up as if they were new. Then with a bow, I would give them to you. My heart would ache, and I did not try the words I made to make you cry. I asked you all for gifts to read, to stand, to be judged with your poetry. Was it my voice that taught you to believe, or was it the hat that put you all at ease? I've come to terms with my evil self and have decided to share a hatter's wealth. I will even show you where to find a verse that speaks in romantic rhyme. A soliloquy of two or two that's made for you. But if evil is what you're looking for, palindromes are by the door. Take them away. They're always free. Take a dozen or two, or better three. The evilest type of poetry. Palindromes.
Yes. I love that. I am right there with you. What Hatter, if you ever need a name for a palindrome, you're more than welcome to use mine. Just so you know.
Okay.
Not sweet, my real one. Okay? Because I'm a palindrome. I'm a map.
You're a palindrome, Pam?
My name is. Yeah. Just spell it backwards on the map.
Oh.
I'm a treasure to be found.
Oh. Okay. Gotcha. You map it all out.
Map it all out. Yeah. Have fun with that one. I love this, by the way. Obvious AP loves it, so go ahead and comment on it.
Well,
yeah.
I have a theory as to why the palindromes are seen to be sort of strangely evil.
Yeah.
And it comes from modern physics. Because modern physics, the world is probably multiplying.
You're cutting out again.
Oh, really? Hold on. Let me just bear with me.
He forgot. I'm starting
here now. Is that better? Is that much better?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Righto. Okay. So let me talk about palindromes. Because there's two realities in palindromes. There's a palindrome on the right way, and then it goes the wrong way, right? So there's two different things going on. I relate that to modern everyday physics. Physics says it could well be that life is going on up to 13 times at the same time. And so I think what happens is that palindromes are so confronting because they put us in track with the fact that things are going on at the same time, but they go on in the reverse. And so it feels really uncomfortable. And I think it's actually related to modern everyday physics. And so I think there's something in it, Hatter.
No.
It was a theory.
Just a theory, okay. Think about that. Theory. How you doing, AP?
In comment, by the way.
Okay. I wrote a palindrome, and that's all there was to it. I've done it. I don't need to do it again.
That's right.
If that's my stance, the one, that's it.
I tried it, and I'll never try again.
Sweet went to Anha Hannah. It was a great little piece. I enjoyed it. I still remember Sweet.
AP wrote a palindrome and AP wrote three verses. The world is going backwards.
My palindrome is fantastic, but the only one that can read it is AP.
You know, the first one I ever read or had heard read was on Gressman's show, and it was anonymous poem found in a bus or something or a restaurant in England, and it was by each word, and it made total sense both ways. I mean, no trips. It was beautifully done, and it just blew me away. Gus had read it, and it was like, you know, at some point during the, when you go backwards, there's some places where the English doesn't, the syntax doesn't, you know, match up quite right. But this one was like, the backwards was even better than the reading the forward. I have to ask him if he still has that. Do you remember that, AP?
I actually vaguely do. I do.
I didn't know what they were at the time, and he explained what it was, and I thought it was a possibility. But the thing, and it wasn't a short one. It was a very long.
No, that's right.
AP, do you have my palindrome?
Maybe.
I can't find it.
Good question. Leave it with me. Give me a minute.
Yeah. I used the longest palindromes I could find. And I can't read them.
I just you know, needed to do it.
I did it because I had to.
That's usually the case.
It was just something I had to do. And now I don't know where it is. I hate that.
You're in a safe place.
You have to go backwards and trace your steps to find it.
Yeah.
I found it in the list. Should I have to do, but I can't find it.
Go backwards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at the other. Look at the other place.
You have to look at it the other way, and you'll find it.
It's always the last place you look.
The other way. It always is the last place I look.
Oh.
I never plan well.
Anybody
you've done
like
palindromes, haven't you?
I've done one.
There you go.
I think that if I have to work that hard to write a piece, it loses all emotion for me because I'm a purge writer. I just kind of puke it out and there it is, however it comes. And I'm okay with things that frolic. Like, I love Burn Stanza. I can write Burn Stanza all day long. It's not difficult for me. I hate writing monotetras because they're too easy. But when it comes to having a poem that splits in half, that reads the same line this way and that way, but completely just makes sense in two
right.
different directions, it's a lot of having to edit and having to finagle.
Right.
And yep. And I have no finesse. It is not my strong suit.
Right.
Did you say you were a purge writer?
Yes.
Wow. Never heard that
I'm
before.
A purge writer.
Wow, cool. Like an AA class? I'm a
yeah.
purge
so in terms of palindromes.
Yes, my name is Pretty Bird, and I'm a purge writer.
In terms of palindromes,
I think we should have,
gotta,
we need a class for that, a group. Oh, wait, we have one.
So in terms of purge writing, you know, the palindrome, she pukes it up, and then we eat it up.
We're going to have to put that in the rules. Put that in the rules. No purge writing.
No.
And what are we going to do?
Eat it up.
A purge. All right.
Binge okay. and purge.
Be fine.
Which is kind of appropriate for
that's
a cool. bird, you know, when they feed their young.
Oh,
that's true. This is true.
I saw a video of this guy open this door and this crow flies in and lands on his desk with a $5 bill. He opens the drawer full of dollar bills and the crow drops it in it. I want a pet crow.
Right?
Yeah, the
I'll
bird
tell
box.
You why.
Look on YouTube
That's a
for
smart,
the bird box.
Smart bird.
Look on YouTube for the bird box. It's a thing that you could train them, and they teach the other birds
yeah.
to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they went from the number 9 intelligence in the animal kingdom to number 3 when they did a TED talk on them, the corvids.
Yeah. I wonder what the dumbest bird is. Probably a seagull, because they're always flying around without the sea.
That's got to be the ostrich.
That's got to be the turkey.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
It's the quail.
It's the quail.
Yeah, you know, when I was living with the rich and famous, I got this job of doing some night lighting on an island, and while I was doing the drainage, out of the corner of my eye, I would always catch something that crossed the path, but I could never freaking see what it was. I'd run over there thinking that it was a snake it looked like a weasel, like it was so real low to the ground, but it was really tiny. So I set my camera up to look down the path and left it on and went about my business, and I saw there's a such thing as a button quail. They are miniature little quails, and they are teeny tiny. And what I was seeing was mom and dad running and the little babies following. I mean, these things are like postage stamps, yeah.
I was referring to the president or the vice president, Dan.
A quail
anyway.
Oh, a quail.
Quails in the
oh, my God, that's dish. Hilarious. That's funny. That actually is pretty
cool. I wrote a poem once on quails being two of the, a quail in the hand is worth two of the bush.
Yeah. Well, you never know that.
Was he the one that shot the other guy in the face? Was that Quail?
Yeah.
One,
no.
When they went hunting.
No,
that was
that
Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
That was Dick Cheney.
Oh, okay.
Peppered him good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
That's why the guy, when you walk the field, the guy in the middle, he's point. You don't go in front of him at all, ever.
Ever. You're not supposed to. Wow, AP has a rain song.
I do.
Yes.
So does Led Zeppelin.
AP's going to read his rain song.
You happy for me to read the rain song?
I'm happy.
Binge and Courage writer. Pee-wee's got it.
All right, I could even sing it, sweet, if you want.
You can sing to me anytime you want, darling.
My dear. You ready?
My dear. Yes.
Yeah. My Girl of Rain Shrouds, and it goes a little bit like this. Wasn't it rich to fly everywhere? Me camouflage to surround you already there, suspended in clouds. Wasn't there risk? What's there to prove? The sun keeps on staring around onto kisses of you. Teardrops of shrouds, suspended in clouds. Cussed when I stopped, not raining it pours. Knowing shimmers of you in puddles on moors. Taking my sentence again with my usual the shadows defined, strobe everywhere, loved once a mask, my result sears, painted up by a pocket of once, sorry, my dear. But where are the clouds? Send in the clouds. Don't worry, rain's here. End poem.
Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
And send in the clouds.
I do love that.
Now I got to hear Under My Umbrella.
Oh, good Lord.
I think that's Bus Stop. Bus Stop, can you?
I can't resonate like he does.
You're Furbato.
Yeah.
This is very good, AP.
Mm. There goes. I can't see like that.
Once a month, my results see us. Send in the clouds.
Not by a long shot. I don't sing. You guys all sing. I don't sing. That's not my gig. Never.
Listen a little bit.
You do backup on Alice.
Well,
Alice!
We'll sing.
Yeah, I do.
We'll sing if you dance.
I can dance, and I can do Alice. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to get the band back together.
All right, guys. I'm going to play my ocean song and say goodnight. Because I didn't play one
have
at the beginning. I'm going to play at
the
end.
The Deborah show?
Yeah, she was at the beginning. Yeah.
Okay.
Came and went.
I'm
going
to play. Listen.
Is it your poem?
No, it's Into the Mystic by Van Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So we're going to end the night and say goodnight.
Is it the Belfast Cowboy or the Dublin Cowboy? It's the Belfast Cowboy, isn't it?
What are you talking about? I have no idea.
His nickname, Van Morrison.
His nickname, Van Morrison.
Oh, I have no
Belfast
idea.
I think he's a Belfast Cowboy.
I don't know. I don't know.
Learn something every day.
But thank you guys for hanging out with me, talking about where water takes
pleasure.
Us. It sounds like it's either drowning us, it's taking us on memory down memory lane. We're afraid of the sharks in it. We are 60% water. And the other thing I wanted to bring out is water is one of the few things that comes in all four. It comes in a solid, it comes in a liquid, and it comes in a gas. So it does a lot of things for us. I love it, you know.
Right.
I should drink more of it, but you know it is. All right. So here we go, guys. Let's listen to some Van Morrison and Into the Mystic. Once again, thank you, everybody that wrote for my show. I can't do this without it. Thank AP for sponsoring us, AP Poetry Foundation. You guys are awesome. Don't forget tomorrow night with Linda. Always a great show. A lot of fun with her. Stop on by. Drop a poem. Do all the things we do for each other. Saturday night with the gang, Hatter, AP, and Deb. Stop on by. What is you guys' word for the night? You know?
Secret room. I understand. What?
Oh, it's just room, room night.
Secret room.
The post
did you
room.
Find Geraldo Rivera?
What?
What is the...
Well, he did that thing with the vault. Geraldo Rivera and the vault and the secret room. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Capone, Al Capone.
Capone's vault.
Capone's
vault.
Room. Yeah, Capone's vault.
I got it. It almost ruined his career.
Yeah. I kind of think it did. All right. Here we go. Good night, everybody. Love, peace,
night,
respect,
guys.
And a whole lot of fun.
Nice.
Won't be my girl. Won't be my girl.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. Funny boat was one that we sailed into the mystic.
we're coming home. When that foghorn blows, I wanna hear it.
Just wanna rock it.